From scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
So, in this episode, dear listener, and it has been a while actually, welcome back. We are looking at some research from Microsoft. Now, each year they do their annual trends research, and it talks about it surveys around 30,000 workers globally. And they have a report called, what they've called this year, as the Frontier Firm. Now, out of that research has come this other piece of work that they've called Breaking Down the Infinite Workday. And we thought we would just shake a stick at that, because there's some quite interesting stats in here, which basically talk about how much information and communication employees are receiving every day. And they talk about the idea of the infinite workday, because it all starts very early and it all bleeds into the evenings and the weekends, and it's turning into a sort of an endless engagement with work-related information and comms. Wouldn't you say, Nigel?
I think I would. I'm a direct victim of that, because I'm in Australia now. I've had meetings at 4 a.m. and meetings at 10 and 11 p.m. So it is an infinite workday. And the fact that stuff just comes in and you have to deal with it and you have no control over when it comes in. Yeah, I'm very sympathetic to that whole idea that we've got to get a grip, essentially. And most companies are not getting a grip. They just exploit the infinite workday and expect people to work infinite hours in an infinite workday. And something has to give, and it's usually people's well-being, their relationships, their life outside the firm, etc. And Microsoft are right. We can do things, we can manage this, but you have to actively manage it. It's not something you can passively expect it will all work out in the end, because it won't. Because I think secretly some companies love this idea that they get replies, people do work at 11 p.m. and then they're back on at 5 in the morning. I think it's shocking and not healthy. I can attest to that. It's not healthy.
Yeah. In terms of some of the data in this, there's basically, it's telling us that the average employee receives 117 emails a day.
Yeah.
Those on Microsoft, on the Microsoft platform, which is a lot of people, obviously, globally, during the day, workers receive an average of 153 Teams messages. There's a load of information and communication. I think the other thing that I would highlight is what seems to be a complete lack of what I'd call like workplace discipline. Like 57% of meetings are ad hoc, so they're called without calendar invites. Now, I'm not someone that would say you shouldn't just have meetings and chats with people. I think that's absolutely a part of how we work. The problem is people are in meetings all the time. So actually the getting work done bit, I guess, for like knowledge workers, if you like, if you're not frontline or kind of worker, for example, if you're spending all that time in meetings and you're calling meetings, you're just soaking up the day with probably not doing the work. And I think this is where it all becomes very interesting, because I think, and this is just my point of view, is that companies like Microsoft have helped create the problem, and we can expect to see the answer as being obviously Copilot. So actually, yeah, all of this is a massive problem. You've got all these emails, and lo and behold, Copilot will tell you what you need to know out of your 117 emails a day. So that's the answer. But my question is that the answer? Actually,
it's part of the answer. I think it's part of the answer, definitely. Because it does, as the world gets more complex, tools come in to make it slightly more manageable. And I think Copilot helps. But in some ways, the danger is that if you've got the mindset, well, this is fundamentally okay and we don't have to worry about it, all you'll do is, when Copilot manages to whittle things down so that you can handle 117 emails, you'll suddenly start getting 350. And then the problem continues. It's like building new roads for cars. If you build a brand new road, it's wonderful for a little bit because suddenly the congestion eases and then more and more people go, oh, this is great, I'm going to buy a car or drive my car, and you end up in exactly the same congestion. So it's the mindset that needs to be dealt with. The tools are really important. I think so. I think they are. I was talking to someone last night saying that he had to do a board paper and that he locked himself in one of those little cubicle booths and had a long conversation with ChatGPT, so he put the audio on. And he basically, ChatGPT helped him structure and gather the ideas together for this paper and then do a first draft for him in an hour and a half. And he said that was probably 1 or 2 days solid work. And when he presented it to the board and said he'd use ChatGPT to help structure it, everyone was really impressed. They said, oh, this is excellent. Do more of it. So, yes, he's really been more productive, but it's whether that more increase in productivity allows him to reflect a little bit, allows him to be a little bit less pressured, or it just, you don't write one board paper, write 5 board papers, because you can do it using ChatGPT. You end up under the same kind of cosh. So it's this space that in my dissertation, my doctoral thesis, I talked about the power of reflection. And we know that to really understand something, you need to reflect on it after you've got information or after you've been through an initial process. And reflection is not just not avoided, it's punishable by death. What are you doing sitting there, cousins? Get off your backside, go back to do some more emails. Whereas the ability, if we use this time to reflect more consciously, and the company used the productivity gains to create space, you get far more effective work, a much happier, but a far more effective workforce and workplace. But we just crush it together. How can anyone think that back-to-back meetings for a whole day is a really good idea? I've done it. I've been in back-to-back meetings for days on end, and it's soul-destroying. I'm sitting here, and I'm not doing anything. I'm not working. And it's frustrating. So normally, that means you go home and you start the work, or you get up really early and you start the work. And the meetings just take up all your day. So you work in the spaces between meetings, and that's just awful. So they're onto something about an infinite workday, but I don't think the solution is just whacking Copilot. Sorry, Martin.
No, so I think this is, if we look at it through a learning and development lens, and you can see this research is that tells you that interruptions from emails, messages or meetings occur every 2 minutes for an employee, then you look at the fact that no one's ever got time to do learning activities. That's one of the time is one of, if not the biggest, it's one of the biggest challenges that L&D will talk about. No one's got time to do this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think this kind of research is laying down the challenge. It's like the challenge is not the learning itself necessarily. I think we need to be looking far more broadly at the context within which people are working. And
yes,
this is the context. And it's not, I don't know that the answer is just to keep pushing more content and messages from learning teams when there's already so much from everywhere else. I think it's,
yeah, they're part of the problem. You find that if you talk to people in organisations, they tell you people who annoy them most are the learning team, because they think that they're saintly and that they're doing this wonderful job for everyone, and all they're doing is making it worse. Now, I've heard that's a quote unquote from a software company. So yeah, I agree that we have to deal with this, take it seriously, but it needs to be, it's holistic. It's not a kind of simple problem. Let's give everyone 10% fewer emails. Life will be fine. It's actually holistic. You've got to restructure the organisation. And I think going on my little hobby horse, sitting people with individual targets, working in isolation and not empowering teams to divide up the work and say, this is what we can do, this is what we can't do. It's crazy. The Pareto Principle is one of the solutions that the paper puts forward. The Pareto Principle is really simple. 20% of the work, 20% of the effort delivers 80% of the results. So just focus on the 20% and don't worry about trying to get the remaining 20%. So good enough, design thinking, minimum viable products, putting stuff out for improvement and an annotation that isn't perfect and is acknowledged not to be perfect. Help people work together to pull things together rather than individual. All of that stuff definitely empowers. But unless you redesign the workplace and redesign the philosophy of work, because I think actually that if people work more effectively, the productivity will not decline at all. I think productivity could go up. So you could get rid of 60% of the effort and increase productivity as a result. And you know, they talk about an agent boss, a new generation of professionals rising through the chaos, not by working more, but by working smarter. We call them agent bosses. Yeah, I think that idea of each person is empowered to bring together their own virtual team and call on support and have people in the workplace who can offer that kind of support when necessary. Which is why I think that we should have many more interns, for example. People who really want to do the work because they want to learn. And to have them working around not only the senior staff, but middle and junior staff would be really helpful. Have some spare hands that are cheaper. So Microsoft put their finger on a really big issue, but I don't think they put their finger on how you solve it. I think they've got part of the idea, but it's got to be radical. You need a radical, because people will tell you what's wrong, but you need radical solutions to put it right. And at the moment, they tinker around the edges.
Yeah. I think great. So I would definitely encourage anyone listening to take some of these stats to senior teams and say, this is the context. And the answer isn't just for functions to keep putting out more content to try and get people to engage with stuff. It's a bigger issue, it's more holistic. But as you say, there's a much bigger prize. We need to be more radical in our thinking right now rather than tinkering at the edges. Nigel, yeah,
if you start with make the principle that work should be enjoyable and manageable and fun, and build everything around that. Yeah, sorry, Martin, I chopped in as you were going to do a fantastic summary. So well, do your fantastic summary.
That's your radical thought. Fun, manageable. What on earth are you suggesting? I need to be looking at my 117 emails a minute type of thing. No, that's great. I think let's leave it there. Interesting conversation, which I'm sure you'll carry on. But for now, thank you, Nigel, and I look forward to the next episode. From scratch.